All right. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chaf Aleph and Zvachim. We're on Chaf Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph. We're analyzing a statement by Rabbi Yochanan. Let's just go over again what we have already seen from yesterday. There are the discussion in the Gemara that we had, that we started yesterday, was Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim, this mitzvah that's mentioned in Parshas Kisisa, so that the Kohen has to prepare himself every day by washing his hands in order to do the Avodah. I say wash his hands, but you know, we really mean wash his hands and feet, as we discussed yesterday. The mitzvah of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim requires him to, in the morning, go to the kiur, go to the basin, and to not immerse. This is not an immersion. This is not tefillah. This is Kiddush. This is sanctification. To run water over his hands and his feet. Gemara yesterday had a machlokas exactly how he has to run the water over his hands and feet, hand and foot, hands and feet, being supported by others. Okay, that we discussed yesterday. Major machlokas that we saw yesterday between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, that we're going to keep going back to again and again. Vis-a-vis what happens in the morning. The machlokas in the Gemara between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, is the following. Rebbe says that every morning that comes up, the water becomes pustle through lina. Not the water. Let's not talk about the water yet. Let's just talk about your hands. Your hands become pustle. They become disqualified, and they need a new washing again. So you can't go use yesterday's hands washing for today. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe says that your hand washing lasts up until the morning. Once the morning comes, once the new day comes, so yeah, that's it. You have a disqualification. We keep using the word lina, which we hear again and again throughout this discussion. The idea of lina is that once something goes into a kli sharis, once something goes into a holy vessel, so it is going to have an expiration date. Right? The examples that we use so far is like blood going into the bowl after you shech the animal. So now it's mekadesh b'kli, it's now sanctified in the kli, and that's it. You have till the end of the day to sprinkle on the mizbech. If you don't sprinkle it on the mizbech by the end of the day, so it becomes pustle through lina. Similarly, Rebbe says the same thing happens with your hands. Your hands, even though they were sanctified, your hands are almost like kli sharis. Your hands, once they become sanctified, so that'll last until the next morning. Once the next morning comes and goes, that's it. They become disqualified through this psul, through this disqualification of lina. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says no. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says that the hand washing can go. His statement was it can go even for 10 days. It's, you know, a guzma, somewhat of an exaggeration. But the point is that once your hands are washed, that's it. They can remain in a state of being washed. Okay, and you don't need to wash your hands again. Of course, if you go to sleep or if you have any other type of interruption, so then obviously you're going to have to refresh and rewash your hands. But that is the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Good. That's what we saw in yesterday's daf. At the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, Rav Yochanan makes a statement. And let's go back, let's review the statement to Rav Yochanan, and let's go over again the machlokas between Rav and Abaye. So far, we've only saw Abaye yesterday, we're going to see Rav today. I'm Rav Yochanan, Kiddush Adar V'Raglav, the Trumas Hadesh, and Lamacha Ein Tzarech LeKadesh, Shekvar Kiddush Mitchilas Avoda. So Rav Yochanan makes the following statement. Kohen wakes up early in the morning and washes his hands for Trumas Hadesh. Trumas Hadesh is the first Avoda that's done every morning. It's in fact done before the morning. It's done before daybreak. It's done before dawn. Trumas Hadesh requires the Kohen to go up the ramp, up to the top of the Mizbeach. There's a bunch of ashes on the top of the Mizbeach. Take a shovel full of the ashes. Pick up the ashes with the shovel. Walk down the Mizbeach and deposit it on the east side of the ramp. This is the mitzvah of Trumas Hadesh. It was a very sought after mitzvah. They had a lottery in the morning to determine which Kohen is going to be able to do this mitzvah. And that's the avoda of Trumas Hadesh. It happens before daybreak. So Rav Yochanan says like this: if the Kohen who does that avoda is going to wash his hands, even once daybreak comes, you don't have to wash your hands again. That's Rav Yochanan. That's a statement made by Rabbi Yochanan. So Kiddush Adar V'Raglav L'Trumas Hadesh L'Amachre Ein Tzarech LeKadesh Shekvar Kiddush Mitchilas Avoda. And the Gemara's question is a simple one: Leman. Who is Rabbi Yochanan going like? Who is he following? Is he following the opinion of Rebbe, or is he following the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon? And the Gemara says, I'm confused. Ila Rebbe, Hamar Pasalina. Rebbe says, no, once daybreak comes, that's it. Everybody has to wash his hands anew. And if Rabbi Yochanan's following the opinion of Rebbe, so, you know, it's nice that he did the mitzvah of Trumas Hadesh, but that was before daybreak. Once daybreak comes, he has to wash his hands anew. So at this point, it seems like Rav Yochanan can't be following the opinion of Rebbe. And Eila Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amar Ein Tzarech LeKadesh, Afilu Mikadesh Asar Yamim. And according to Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, you never have to wash your hands again. And so there's no chiddush in what Rav Yochanan is saying. Well, if you do Trumas Hadashen, you don't have to wash your hands again. Of course you don't have to wash your hands again. Nobody has to wash their hands again if they had no type of interruption and no type of Hesach Hadas. Good. So that's what we kind of left off yesterday. Who is Rav Yochanan following like? The opinion of Rebbe or the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon? So Amar Abai La'olam L'Rebbe V'lina D'Rabbanan Hi Omode D'Mikrusa Gever V'yad Safra Lo Pasalina. So Abai says like this. Really he follows like Rebbe. Really the morning comes, the day comes, and you have to wash your hands again. And that's for everybody. But that's only a Din D'Rabbanan. That's only rabbinic decree. Okay? Right? It's not the idea that we're going to take a lina, the concept of lina, and we're going to apply it to a Kohen's hands, it doesn't really work that way. In Min HaTorah, that's not lina. Lina Min HaTorah refers to blood in a bowl. It refers to the komets of a mincha offering in a bowl. That's where we see lina Min HaTorah. But this concept of lina on hands, that's only a din d'rabbanan. And there are times when the chachamim just simply relaxed. For example, Trumas Hadeshen. And you can understand that. It's very simple to understand. Because Trumas Hadeshen really is the avoda for today. It just happens to be that it occurs, the occurrence of Trumas Hadeshen takes place before daybreak. All the other avodas take place after daybreak. It happens to be that Trumas Hadeshen takes place before daybreak. But it's really part of the avoda for today. So even Rebbe, who normally says, morning comes, day comes, you got to wash your hands again. You were up all night, I don't care, you got to wash your hands again. Even though that's true, nevertheless, in the case of Trumas Hadeshen, since anyway it's part of the day's avoda, you don't have to wash your hands again for the morning. That's a Abaye's approach, and that's approach number one in Rav Yochanan. A second approach. Rav Amar La'olam Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Hi. The Rav... Rav Yochanan Dvarav B'Tchilas Avoda V'lo B'Sof Avoda. Or you could say like this. Really, Rav Yochanan's following like Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. The problem with that, as we've already noted, Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon never requires you to wash your hands again. Never. Right? If you are up 10 days straight, again, Guzma, but if you're up 10 days straight, you don't have to wash your hands again. So what's Rav Yochanan telling me? Oh, I'm holding like Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, but listen carefully. If you do the Trumas Hadeshen early in the morning, you don't have to wash your hands again. Well, of course not. Right? Even if you were doing yesterday's avoda, you don't have to wash your hands again. What's going on over here? What's he telling us that I wouldn't have known from Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon? So Rav's suggestion goes like this. He kind of agrees with Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, not totally. In the idea of Tchilas Avoda, meaning, if you're starting anew, if you're starting fresh, you don't have to wash your hands again. But besof avoda, but if you finish your avoda and now you move on to a new avoda and it's a new day, then you have to wash your hands again. Meaning, Rav Yochanan has a modified version of Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Fine, meisvei. The Gemara now at this point in time is going to challenge the statement of Rav Yochanan. It's more like challenging the interpretation of Rav Yochanan, Abai and Rava. Ra'u echav ha-kohanim shiyad v'hein ratzu uva'u mi'aru v'kitchi adem v'raglehem. Okay. Mishnah tells us like this. It's a Mishnah in Tamid, which we'll get to later on. The end of the Seder. The Mishnah in Tamid describes his brother Kohanim see him getting down from doing the Trumas Hadeshen, and they quickly run and they do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Now Rashi tells us, and you have to follow Rashi over here, because at this point we are thinking that these Kohanim who are watching are Kohanim that have been up all night, right? Not a new shift, not new Kohanim, but rather Kohanim that have been there already. And, right? And they were there from yesterday, and they're continuing on to this morning. Okay, it's not going to end up being the Pshat in the Mishnah, but that's right now, at this point in time, what we think in terms of, in the Hava Mina going into this question. Good. And now, let's read the Mishnah again. The other Kohanim see him, meaning Mr. Trumas Hadeshen, coming down from the ramp. And what is their response? They quickly run to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim from the Kiyah. Now, Bishlama, the Gemara says, La Abai Demukim La Karebi Umo De Rebi Demik Kursa Gever Ad Staffa Lo Pasla Lina. Hamani Rebihi. So you know what? For Abaye, it kind of works out. It makes sense. Because remember, Abaye says that in the early morning, from Krus Hagavar at Safra, Krus Hagavar, the rooster crowing, or another pshat in Krus Hagavar is, right, they had some sort of wake-up guy there in the morning, before dawn, right, from Krus Hagavar until morning, it's, in other words, that's part of the day. The whole idea that your hands become pusel and need a new washing, that's only Durabanan. And from Krus Hagavar until the morning, there's no gzeira derabanan. There's no idea of lina. So good. So in other words, that Mishnah could follow the opinion of Rebbe. Ela l'Rav demukim l'karab lazer Rebbe Shimon. Aval l'Rebbe mikrus agever at safra pasal lina. But according to Rava, Rava doesn't subscribe to this idea. According to Rava, Rebbe says you have to wash your hands every single morning. Period. Done. You are up doing. It doesn't matter. According to Rebbe, you always need to wash your hands in the morning, period. And according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, you need to wash your hands, you don't need to wash your hands, but that's only if you are starting the avoda. But if it's a conclusion of an avoda, so you do need to wash your hands. So, hamani, e Rebbe.
What's the point of doing that?
Wait one second. E Rebbe pasalina. So now, according to Rava, this Mishnah can't follow like Rebbe. Because remember, according to Rebbe, you always need to wash your hands every single morning, and your hands become disqualified at daybreak. Period. Okay? And E Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, Hamar Filmi Kambarasar Yame Man Sarach Lekadesh. And according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, there's no requirement to wash your hands. And again, the Gemara is assuming in the Havamina that these Kohanim were up the whole night. So La Olam, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, very simple. So we'll say a simple pshat in the Mishnah, that the Kohanim that were there watching the Trumas Hadesh and Kohen coming down, it's before daybreak. They wash their hands before daybreak. I don't have to wash their hands again. Yeah, because the Mishnah is found like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. These are new Kohanim. And correct, once they wash their hands before daybreak, that's it. It works for the remainder of the day, for the balance of the day. Okay, quickly, summarize. Question on the table is a question of, do your hands become disqualified in the morning? Do you need to wash your hands again? We're talking about a scenario where you've been up the whole night, so you didn't have a Hesar Chadas. So according to Rebbe, yes you do, you need to wash your hands again. According to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, no you don't. Rav Yochanan's statement that for the Trumas Hadeshen, which happens in the early morning, before daybreak, before dawn, he says when you wash your hands for that, you don't have to wash your hands again for the balance of that day. That statement to Rav Yochanan, is it following Rebbe? Is it following Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon? So the Gemara gave two positions on that. Period. I guess Hesach Hadas. I guess the idea is that you, once you conclude the avoda, that's it. Your mind is finished with that kiddush, with that sanctification.
So what is one
night? None. You're going to see, by the way, Dr. Zagi, you're not going to like these next pages of Gemara. The Gemara is going to ask a number of questions and leave questions inconclusive. So on the question of Rebbe versus Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, the Gemara leaves that inconclusive. Next question that's going to be left unresolved. Ibailahu Yitzia. Okay. Again, in order to do the avoda, you have to wash your hands and feet, right? From the basin in the azara. Good. What if you walk out? You wash your hands and your feet, and you walked out of the temple courtyard. Yitzia. You walked out of it, and you walk back in. Do you have to wash your hands and feet again? Okay, simple question, straightforward question. Now, it's a simple question, straightforward question. Rashi, it's an interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says, Yitzia, right alongside where we, no, a little bit above, where we are in the Gemara, Rashi writes, Chutz la'azara. Right, you walked outside the temple courtyard. Right, that's the question. Mao shetol kederach sheposel v'chol ha'kachim shekachim b'kli sharis shim yatsu nifsalim b'yotzei. Oh, that is a fascinating Rashi. We know that when something leaves the temple courtyard after having gone into a kli sharis, having gone into a holy vessel, we know that it becomes disqualified. That disqualification is called yotzei, right? Not a super technical name. It just simply means that it left the walls of the Azara. Certain things of Kedusha are confined to certain areas, right? A carbon chatas, for example, right? This is a good example. Carbon chatas, for example, once it's brought into the Beis HaMikdash, once it's shechted in the Azara, that's it. The animal has to be confined to the temple courtyard. If any piece of the animal leaves the temple courtyard, it becomes disqualified. If the blood of the carbon chatas leaves the temple courtyard, that blood becomes disqualified. This is a psul of yotze. This is a psul of exiting. Rashi says, the question over here about the Kohen's hands after they were washed, really it's a question about the Kohen, it's the same question, says Rashi. When he washes his hands and feet and he leaves the temple courtyard, maybe he becomes disqualified through the psul of Yotze. That is the way Rashi describes the question. Tosu says, what? I don't understand. When we're talking about objects of Kedusha, so then I understand objects of Kedusha become disqualified. We're not talking about objects. We're talking about people.
His attention was changed by going.
And that's exactly what Tosso says. Tosso says, "Perish because Shkadech Shaposas Bechol Akachim." The top Tosso's on the page. Shikachim Beklishar Shikachim Bekli Shem Yatsan Nifsam Beyotze Ve Esher Lomar Kane. I don't understand, says Tosos. What's Rashi talking about when he says that the issue over here is an issue of Yotze? In fact, it's going to be very difficult to read Rashi in the Gemara because the Gemara is going to start throwing around terms of Hesach Hadas, meaning that your attention has been diverted. You got sidetracked by walking out. And it's, you know, much like, you know, when we wash our hands for bread, it's a different washing, obviously. When we wash our hands for bread, you know, you talk, you got to wash again, right? Not relevant, not germane to the meal. Because you experienced Hesach Hadas, and therefore you got to wash again. So similarly over here, the Gemara is going to use this terminology, right? If you wash and you walk out of the Azara, you've experienced Hesach Hadas. So Tosu says, it's difficult. It's difficult to understand why Rashi over here is using terminology of the psul yotze, when that psul is talking about objects and items, not people.
If you wash to make a mozi and you walk out of your own house, you have to wash.
So it's a good question. I don't have a solid answer, but I'll give you another example in terms of walking out. We're learning the 10th parak of Pesachim this year in the high school. There's something called shinui makom. Shinui makom means I make a bracha on a food and I walk out of the house. I got to make a new bracha, right? What just happened? So, right, the Rishonim explained. What happened is that when you walk out of a place, when you walk out of a certain establishment, yeah, you experience Hesach Hadas. So it's similar over here. You wash your hands, now you're doing the avoda, and you walk out. So the possibility is that you've now experienced Hesach Hadas. Tosus is right. In other words, the Pshuto Shel Gemara, the simple Pshat in the Gemara, is that we are discussing over here Hesach Hadas, not what Rashi describes as being a Psul Yotze. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Ibailu Yitzia. Right. Correct.
And does seem to
right. It's good. I was thinking the same. Good. So Ibailahu, Yitzia Masha told the Kiddush Adayim Veraglayim. Im Timsa Lomar Lina Lo Pasla De Lo Parish. Look, Lina, right? That doesn't disqualify, but you, in other words, you're still there. You're still doing the avoda. So the fact of the matter is, yes, it's a new day, I understand, but you're still there. Aval yitzia de parsha such mesach daite. But when you walk out of the Azara, it could very well be that you've just experienced Hesach Hadas. You've had now a diversion of your attention. You just, oh, demo kevin de biyad alach so lo mesach. Or on the other hand, no. You're not diverting your attention because you know you walk out, but you know you're going to go back in. You know you still need to do the avoda. So maybe walking out of the Azara does not establish Hesach Hadas. Again, like Tosu says, the whole Gemara really sets it up as a question of Hesach Hadas. Did you experience Hesach Hadas? Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. And the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa. Kiddush Yad Veragla V'Nitma'u. If you sanctified your hands and your feet, and they become tummy, your hands and feet become tummy, or your hands become tummy. Let's talk about hands. Now, it's just let's take a moment, please. Talk a little bit about Tumah Tahara. Okay, right. The world of Tumah Tahara is a huge world. It's one of the six Siddurim in Mishnayos. So I can't, you know, I'll regal achas, I can't teach Tumat Tahara, and that assumes, of course, I know Tumat Tahara. But generally speaking, if you become Tame, your whole body becomes Tame, right? Minat Torah. There's no such thing as segregating different parts of your body. Limbs don't become tummy. Either your body is tummy or you're not tummy, period. Yes or no? The idea of your hands becoming tummy is rabbinic. It's an institution, it's a gzera, right? However you want to say it, but your hands becoming tummy under certain rabbinic guidelines, your hands and only your hands become tummy. Rashi gives an example. Rashi gives a couple of examples of where your hands become tummy. For example, says Rashi, you have a carbon that becomes disqualified through pigel. Right? The Kohen who did the avoda was mefagel. He said, I'm going to shech the animal chutz lezmano. And he did all the other avodas kedasu kedin.
So he's
eat the animal, thank you. He's going to eat the animal or sprinkle the blood, chutz lezmano, thank you, that's correct. And now the meat of that animal becomes pasul, becomes disqualified through pigel. The rabbi stepped in, the rabbi said, we don't want anyone handling it. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to institute a rabbinic injunction, whereby anyone who touches that meat, his hands will become tummy. Okay, that's just one example of where your hands become tame to the exclusion of the rest of your body. Tumas yadayim. Again, there's much more to speak about that. This is just by way of introduction. So the Gemara. Now let's go back to the Gemara. Kiddush yad v'raglav v'nitmeu, and your hands become tame matbilim v'insarach lekadesh. So you just tovel them in the mikvah, right? Just take your hands, just put your hands into the mikvah. And you don't need to go through the process of kiddush yadayim v'raglayim again. Yatsu harein b'kedusha san. If your hands leave the azara, which means that you're still standing within the walls, within the confines of the azara, and you just take your hands and you move your hands outside the azara and you bring them back in again, that's fine. So the Braisa gives us two examples of tuma and yotzei, but limited to your hands, just your hands. And the Braisa says in both of those cases, if it's just your hands, you're still good. Meaning that Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that you've done earlier this morning still is in force, still applies. Give me a moment. So, Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim Nitmu Matbilim and Sarach Kash Yatsu Harim B'Jush Sam. So, Yatsu Yadav Lo Kami Bailan. So the Gemara says, okay, the Braisa is correct, obviously. I'm not going to disagree with the Braisa, but you misunderstood my question. If it's just a question of your hands, yeah, it's just your hands. That's not really going to divert your attention. Yatsu yadav lo kami bailan. Ki kami bailan yatsu kol gufo. I'm asking about when your entire body left the azara. If it's just your hands, you didn't experience hesachadas. If your whole body left the azara, maybe then you've experienced hesachadas. So the Gemara says that's the question. So what we've done so far, just simply sharpen the question. If you yourself left the azara, do you have to go back and wash your hands again? My tashma. So the Gemara says, how about this? Shalom richot yadayim v'raglayim, mikadesh b'kli sharis bifnim, kidesh b'kli sharis b'chutz, o b'kli chol bifnim, o shetava b'mei ma'ara v'avad avodaso psula. The Braisa over here, it's a Tosefta, gives us a list of washings of your hand that are just no good. For example, right, kiddush b'kli sharis b'chutz. Right, you wash your hands outside the azara, no good. Kli chol bifnim, inside, but not using a kli sharis, no good. Kli sharis just simply means that it was consecrated for the purposes of using for the temple. O shetavo b'mei ma'ara, or let's say you toveled your hands in a pit of water, what we'll call a mikvah. Also, no good. In other words, it's interesting. Even if you submerge your hands in the mikvah, that's no good. That's not Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So the Gemara now takes a moment, thinks about the Braisa, and posits the following. Taima de Kiddush B'Kli Sharis B'Chutz. HaKiddush B'Fnim V'Yatza Avodas Okshera. What's the example? What's one of the examples that we just talked about? Washing your hands outside the Azara. That's no good. You could deduce that if you wash your hands inside the Azara, then took a step outside, then came back in again, that's okay. The Gemara says...
But what about his intent?
The Gemara says, I'm not so into that diuk. Dilma kiddush b'klisharis b'chutz hechidami kigon da'afik yadav lebar v'kiddush. So the Gemara says, could very well be that that's not... No. We're talking about a case where you yourself were inside the Azara. How did you wash your hands outside? You just stuck your hands outside the Azara. But you yourself were still inside the Azara. But if you walked outside of the Azara, the question still remains. So good. So the question still remains. Again, the question on the table is, washed my hands, me the Kohen, right? Which I'm not. Me the Kohen, I washed my hands, I walked outside the Azara, I come back in again, do I have to wash again? That's the question on the table. Amale Rav Zvidla Rav Papa Tashma. Yatza chutz mechitzas chomas Azara. If you walk outside the walls of the Azara, im lishos taun tvila. If it's for just a little bit, sorry. If it's for a big pause, you need to tovel. Im lefi sha'a. If it's for some more significant time, taun kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, you need to wash your hands anew. Okay?
Two different things, though.
Okay, wait just 1 second. We have a braisa that seems to suggest, depending on the length of time that you have spent outside of the walls of the Azara, under certain circumstances, yes, you're going to have to come back in and wash your hands again. Amar Lei, so he says to him, that braisa, hach b'mayiskin, k'gon shi'atza l'hasech raglav, o l'hatomayim. That braisa is talking about, you didn't just walk outside, you need to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. The Kohen needed to relieve himself. Mm-hmm. And what the braisa is telling us is that if the Kohen's going outside to relieve himself, when he comes back in again, depending on what he did, he's going to either have to tovel his hands or he's going to have to...
He has to do both.
Oh, wait, just 1 second. Ha beheji ketanila. So the Gemara says, wait a second. That's what the braisa is talking about. I understand. Go to the next part of the braisa. Kol ha-mesech raglav taun tvila. If you urinate, so then you have to immerse your hands in water. Not do kish yadayim v'raglayim again, but you have to immerse your hands in water. V'chol ha-matil mayim. Sorry. I said it wrong. If you defecate, right, the first part of the braisa is defecation. Kol ha-mesech raglav taun tvila. V'chol ha-matil mayim taun kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Okay? So it's the second part of the braisa is talking about the Kohen relieving himself. Meaning, what bothers the Gemara right now is, look, I have two halves of this braisa. When I put them together, right, I see that the second half of the braisa is talking about the Kohen relieving himself. Meaning that the first half of the braisa seems to be talking about the more generic, he stepped outside. So the Gemara says, no, tni v'hadar mefarish. The Gemara says, no. The two parts of the braisa complement one another. In other words, the braisa first sets itself up. We're talking about where he steps outside. And the second part of the braisa is talking about why he's stepping outside, either to defecate or to urinate.
So tefillah
only if he's tummy. Only if he's tummy does he need to tovel.
Why does he have to
tefillah? Okay, so, right? So, okay.
No.
Kiddush Adam Reglam has nothing to do with becoming, with tummy tumatahara. So Shiyatza Lahasech Raglav Rashi. Rashi writes the following. Shiyatza Lahasech Raglav Ligadolim de Chavase Sefa Diktani Im Lefishao Tom Kiddush. Shiyatza Lahatomayim. The Amrina Beseda Yuma. Rashi here quotes the Gemara in Yuma. Mitzvah Lashafshef Biyado Nitzotza Sha'agabe Raglav. What you need to do after urination, Rashi writes, that you need to make sure that you have no drops left on your legs. Meaning if there is any drops of urine on your legs, mitzvah l'shavshef, you have to rub them off with your hands. Why? Shelo yir kekrushavcha. The reason why is because if you walk around, aside from the fact that it's unseemly and it's, you know, rather just not respectful to walk around with drops of urine on your legs, also, there's a halachic consideration as well, in that people may accuse you of being kreshavcha, being maimed in that area. And if that would have been the case, then how did you father children? Right? How did that happen? Oh, they must not be your children, i.e., the mailman, the milkman, whoever you want to blame. So therefore, lefichach sarach lekadish yada v'raglav. So therefore, because of now that you have urine on your hands, so now you need kiddush adam v'raglayim, you need to sanctify your hands anew. Okay? So that's why Rashi says that if it's lahatomayim, So there's a requirement of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim.
The only reason you have to wash your hands is to go to the bathroom is because of Zeru, where people sit and crush Shabbat.
That's the way Rashi explains it.
The Muslims actually, they do the hands and feet all the time.
Huh?
Muslims.
Right? Because, I mean, the Torah says, I mean, without, you know, the Torah says it straight out that they're both. Okay. For defecation? No.
If you're tummy, you got to do tevila, right?
Yes.
If you're tummy, you got to do tevila. The whole question is, if you come tummy, does that take your mind off?
I'm not sure. Tefillah, I'm not sure about. Okay, I'm unclear about the tefillah. Okay, let's go on. Tashma, para. Okay, what do you do for paraduma? Okay, paraduma is always the most confusing avoda that takes place because it's not an avoda, meaning that it's outside. It's done on the Har Mishkat. It's done on the Mount of Olives, where the Kohen takes the animal over there, shechs the animal over there, burns the animal over there, and the whole thing's done outside the Beis Hamikdash. Right, to even call the paraduma karban, that's also not the right terminology. So whenever we deal with paraduma, so we're always confused. What's going on over here? Is it an avoda? Is it not an avoda? I know I need a Kohen to do it. So what is it? Now, aside from that overarching question of how do I categorize the whole avoda of the paraduma, like, do I even need to wash my hands and feet to do the paraduma? Right? So that's exactly what's being discussed over here. Tashma para. Rebbe Chiya bar Yosef Amen Mekash B'Kli Shars Bifnim. So according to one opinion, yeah, you're going to go into the Azar, into the temple courtyard, you're going to go over to the Kiyor, and you're going to wash your hands and feet as if you're doing a real avoda. That's one opinion. The Yotzei, and obviously you have to walk out. Right, obviously. I mean, obviously. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu B'Chutz, Afilu B'Kli Chol Ve'Afilu B'Mikita Shocheres. And the other opinion, the Rav Yochanan approach is no. You wash your hands, but it's ceremonial. You don't need a Kli Shares. You don't need, you could do it with Mekita Shocheres. You could do it with an earthenware jug, and that's fine also. You do a ceremonial washing of the hands and feet. Okay? So, good. Leave Rav Yochanan out of the discussion. Go back to the opinion of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says you wash your hands and feet in the Kiyor, in the Azara. And then what are you going to do? You're going to walk out. So as to the question, what happens when you walk out? So apparently the answer is nothing. Otherwise, how do you understand? How do you process the information of Rabbi Chiya? The opinion of Rabbi Chiya is you wash your hands in the Azar and then you walk out. If walking out constitutes the Hesach Hadas, so what good was it the washing that you did? So Amar of Papa Shani Para Hol V'Chomaseh B'Chutz Lo Paslo Ba Yitzia. So the Gemara says, well, what we're going to do is we're going to say Paraduma is just different. It's just, no pun intended, but it's a different animal. It's a different, sorry. It's a totally different process. Since the whole paraduma is done outside, meaning, makes sense. Since you know you're going to go outside anyway, so that's not a Hesach Hadas. Hesach Hadas means I'm in the Azara, I'm working in the Azara, and then I stepped outside. That's Hesach Hadas. But if I know when I wash my hands I have to go outside anyway, that's not Hesach Hadas. For this particular avoda. So the Gemara says, and the reason why, it's because it's Ke'en Avoda Panim. Okay, fine. Good. And, Dr. Zaghi, much to our discomfort, again, the Gemara dropped the question, and the Gemara did not resolve the question. Does walking outside constitute a Hesach Hadas? So the Gemara asks, tries to support, and comes up inconclusive.
Going to the bathroom, the number two, yes.
Yeah, if you're stepping outside to go to the bathroom, that for sure, yes. But right, the Gemara's question is even without having gone to the bathroom, you were just yotzei, you just walked out. Ibailahu tuma ma'u shetol kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Look, you washed your hands in the morning. You did kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. You sanctified your hands in the morning as you were supposed to, and then you become tummy. Now this is strange, but again, just Washing your hands and your feet have nothing to do with tumah. That is a function of, in order to do the avodah, you need this process of kiddush. You need this process of sanctification. So now, I understand, right? Right? We all understand. When you're tumah, you can't do any more avodah. Right? You're barred from doing the avodah until you take care of your state of tumah. And we also understand that, how do you take care of your state of tumah? By immersing yourself in the mikvah and waiting till tonight. Okay? But still, you did it. So in other words, you immersed in the mikvah and you waited till tonight. Do you have to do kiddush adayim v'raglayim? Meaning, did that whole process result in hesach hadas? Again, we're just going to be basically pounding the same question again. Ibaylu tuma ma'ashu tol kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Intim salama yisiel apostle degaver chaze aval hacha degaver lo chaze esuch hamesach daite. So the Gemara says, look, for the time that you're tamei, you're derailed. You're totally derailed. You can't do any type of avoda. Oduma came into hadr chaze dakle v'lo ma'asach daite. On the other hand, look, you know you're derailed, but you know I'm making a comeback, and it's a quick comeback also. In other words, tonight I'll be good to do the avoda tonight. So Tashma, so the Gemara says again, let's try this again. Kiddush adav raglav nidmu matbilim bein tzarach lekadesh. So the Gemara says, look, we know that if your hands become tamei, so the Braisa tells us very clearly, tovel them in the mikvah and then go right back to work.
If you can tell me, there's also a time element also. He's got to wait till night, right?
Just wait 1 second. Okay, your point is right on. Just wait 1 second. Nidmu yadav lo mei bailan, kimi bailan, nidmu kol gufo. So the Gemara says again, you misunderstood the question. We're not talking about the rabbinic tumah of where your hands become tummy. That's not the question. Meaning, because for that, you just put your hands into a mikvah and you go right back to work. That's not the question. The question is, you become tummy. Kol aguf, real tumah. You touched the sherets, right? You touched any source of tumah, and you become tummy. Now, the Gemara says, kol gufu typically came into Baila Me'evet Erev Shemesh Asuche Mesach Daite. So now the Gemara makes Ben's point, which is, okay, so you become tummy. You know what's going to happen now. You got to take a break. You got to go out. You got to go into the mikvah. You got to wait till tonight. That's not Hesach Hadas. So the Gemara says, could go into it, Mesach Lishkiya Sachama. Gemara says, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Let's say it's 10 minutes before sundown and you become tamei. Okay, good. So you run to the mikvah, you tovel in the mikvah, and just wait 5 minutes. 5 minutes is Hesach Hadas. I'm throwing out numbers, but you understand. In other words, it's such a short amount of time. That's not a Hesach Hadas. Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try. And let's try with what we've already seen before. Para. Do you need to wash your hands for the para duma? Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yosef, Amar, Mikash, Bekli, Shars, Befnim, Biyotzev, Rabbi Yochan, Amar, Afil, Bechutz, Afil, Bekli, Chol, Afil, Bemekida, Shocheret. Okay, now, you need to know one piece of information in order to understand this proof. And it's a strange piece of information. It's just strange. It takes us back to really the beginning of Masechta Yuma. If you remember the very beginning of Yuma, we discussed this at length. In Parshas Chukas, the Torah describes the process of the paraduma. You have to burn the red cow, the red heifer. And the Torah is actually very clear about who has to burn it. The Asaf Ish Tahor is Ephra Par Vinich Machutza Machanebe Makum Tahor, Vaisela Adas Ben Esol Mishmer Lameni Da Chatasi. The Torah describes that the person involved has to be Ish Tahor. He's got to be someone who is Tahor. Okay? Good. So, without Torah Shebaal Peh, without the oral tradition, so I would have said, like you would have said, Ish Tahor means he's got to be totally Tahor, meaning not any element of Tumah whatsoever. However, we know based on Torah Shebaal Peh, based on the oral tradition, Tahor means even if he's a Tful Yom, meaning he became Tameh and he toveled in the mikvah. And now he has to wait till nightfall. Between the time that he toveled in the mikvah until nightfall, he's what's called a Tful Yom. He has a little residual tumah going on, right? A shade of tumah still lingering in him until sunset. We know based on our Torah Shebaal Peh, he can do the process of the paraduma. Okay, we know that. Okay, it doesn't say that in the Torah. The Torah says ish tahor. Good, but we have a Torah Shabbat pen. Now, just a little bit of history. Towards the middle of the Second Temple, so you had all these extreme groups, right? The Essenes, the Sadducees, right? And these groups, what they did is basically they dispensed with Torah Shabbat Peh, and they just went with Torah Shabbat, right? If it says in the Torah good, otherwise this rabbinic interpretation, none of that, right? They didn't go for any of that. And on occasion, what we did is that we did something to show them this is not how you do it. We have a Torah Shabbat Peh. This is our tradition, right?
Or to get rid of them. If you do it to Kol Yom, we'll get rid of them.
to get them out of the whole process. And I'm not a historian, you know that, right? How embedded they were into the whole culture of the Bayit Sheni. But we did things that we went out of our way to show them at times, this is our Torah Shabbat Peh, and this is how we did things. So, the beginning of Yuma, the Gemara has this discussion. Right, what we would do whenever we would go through the process of Paraduma, which came up how often, right, very, very infrequently, is that we would actually be metame the people involved with the Paraduma, so that they will tovo in the mikvah, so that they will be in that stage of tful yom to show the sedukim it's okay, and we would go out of our way. It's just think about it; it's crazy. We would go out of our way to be metame the people involved in the Paraduma, just to show the Tzedukim, this is our tradition, that a Tful Yom is acceptable. Okay, now that you know all that, now let's go back to our Gemara.
When they're metame, they have to use Paraduma to get Tumah.
Only for Mace. Paraduma is only needed for Mace.
So it was a different
Tumah. It was a different source of Tumah.
The Tavul Yom, what is its status with Truma?
He's postal Truma. He disqualifies Truma. He touches Truma, he disqualifies.
You need mastery.
Okay. Punishment, I don't know. But in other words, let's just talk in the world of Tumah Tahara. So he disqualifies Truma. So good. So now that you know all that, so now let's go back to our Gemara.
Why would he disqualify Truma but not Paraduma?
Torah Shabbat Peh, that's part of the tradition that we have. So it's not a great answer, but that's what I have right now for you. So now that you know that, so now let's go to the Gemara's proof, because the Gemara now is going to say it extraordinarily well. The hapara de temuye matminan lay. In other words, when we're talking about the Paraduma, we know what's going to happen. That person who's going to be involved in the preparation of the Paraduma, he's going to actually be made tameh. Ditnan, quote the Mishnah, mitamim hayu akon asari for hapara. The Mishnah in Parah tells us, here's what we did. The Kohen who burns the Paraduma, we're metame him. And then we ask him, okay, now that you're tame, now step into the mikvah, right? Dunk into the mikvah, come out of the mikvah, now you're a tful yom for Paraduma, that's good. And why do we do that? That sounds crazy. Lahotzi miliban shel tzidukim. Because we use this moment to show the Tzedukim, we have Torah Shabbat Peh. This is our tradition. This is our interpretation of the Torah. It's part of the Torah. And consequently, this is right. And I know the Torah says Ish Tahor, but this is part of our Torah Shabbat Peh. Melahotzim liban shel Tzedukim. Shayu Omrim, b'me'or ve'shemesh ha'isanes nases. They say that Tzedukim, you need me'or ve'shemesh, you need Herav Shemesh. In other words, what are you doing? He's Tameh, he's a Tful Yom. You need Herav Shemesh, you know you need Herav Shemesh. We say back, no you don't.
Is Herav Shemesh not the Rabbanan
then? Once you experience Herav Shemesh, you're totally Tahor.
The concept of Herav Shemesh, isn't that the Rabbanan?
No.
Oh, I see.
No.
That's the right
side. So what do you see over here? So the Gemara now is building a case that you washed your hands, right? Remember, according to Rabbi Chia, for the Paraduma, you went into the Azara. They washed his hands, you did Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and then you come out, and now that we learned the Mishnah Parah together, we know what happens next. He becomes Tameh, and then he tovels in the mikvah. He doesn't need to wash his hands again. He doesn't wash his hands again. So you see that going through Tumah and coming out of Tumah is not a Hesach Hadas. This is the Gemara's argument. It seems to be a great argument. Shmamin alo paslaba. So the Gemara says, Tumashani. So the Gemara says, "Para hold the tful yom lo pasaba." So the Gemara says, "It's not a not a good case study, because the world of tful yom is not a disqualifier for the para aduma, and I guess."
Part of the process also.
It doesn't have to be part of the process. We made it part of the process.
Yeah, but I mean, it's part of the.
Okay, process. Fine. I understand, but it's not right. But your argument, though,
it's all part of the.
Correct. I understand that, but it doesn't have to be part of the process. We just did that because of our fight with the tzedukim. So hold the tful yom lo pasaba ihachil amelin de mekadesh. So the Gemara says, okay. So why go through kiddush ke'en avoda be'inan? Because it's still ke'en avoda, meaning this para aduma is still somewhat like an avoda, and you need to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Okay, good. So it was a great discussion. It was a great attempt to try to prove the question: what happens when you become tameh? It just happens to be that since tful yom, it doesn't disqualify for the para aduma. It's just not going to be a good proof. So again, second time today, question on the table: is tumah going to be a hesach hadas? Answer, the Gemara says, is unresolved. We don't know. We don't know if tumah is a hesach hadas, and we don't know if you need to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim again after you come out from your tumah. Ibai lehu. Mau lekadesh yada v'raglav bikiyor. Question like this. Right? We have a two-dimensional picture of the kiyor. If you have a good picture book, you'll see a nice picture. Putting your hands, it's like a huge basin. Putting your hands into the kiyor, meaning we know that it has spouts. We know that Bar Katina added 12 spouts in total. And what you do is you open up the spout and you let the water run over your hands and your feet. That's kiddush. It's not mikvah, it's kiddush, sanctification. What if you put your hands into the kiyor? Mimenu amarech mena v'lo besocho, odilma afil besocho. So the Gemara says, exactly. Do you need to be mekadesh from it, which is the simple pshat on the pesukim, or demafil besocho, or no? Maybe from it, meaning that the Torah allows me to be mekadesh from it, but if I put my hands in it, right, one can make the argument that it would be okay.
And nobody else could use the water, no?
Well, no, the water itself, it's like a mikvah. I mean, I know it's not a mikvah, but it's like a mikvah. Mikvah, right? You're not metame the mikvah.
You cannot even make it tameh. Your hands are not tameh.
Right. And again, right, the idea of tumah, kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is not tumah. It's part of the preparation to do the avoda.
But
it's a preparatory act for the avoda.
Stick it in anyway.
Again, but right, but we're gonna confuse understandably tumah and kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. It's not a tumah issue. It's a preparation issue. Oshetavo b'meima. I'm sorry. So Tashma, the Gemara says, how about this? Oshetavo b'meima arav avad avoda sapsula. So ha. I'm sorry, and the Gemara is going to do the same thing, meaning the Gemara is about to confuse mikvah and kiyor, because the proof the Gemara brings down is, look, what do I know? I know, because we learned it just earlier this morning, that if I take my hands and I put it in a mikvah, right, that's no good. That's not kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So the Gemara says, ha me kiyor dumya demei ma'ara. Look, it sounds like we're trying to draw a contrast between putting your hands in the mikvah versus putting your hands in the kiyor. So the Braisa doesn't say all this. The Gemara is doing a lot of conjecture. But it sounds like if I put my hands in the mikvah, that's no good. That's not kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. If I put my hands in the kiyor, maybe that would be good. So the Gemara says, v'avra v'rasakshera, lo. The Gemara says no. The Bryce is not trying to draw such a contrast. In fact, that's not the point the Bryce is making at all. In fact, the point of the Bryce, because by the mikvah, I could have said, look, I know that if I dunk in the mikvah, me, my whole body, if I dunk in the mikvah, I come out tahor. You could have made the argument, well, if I put my hands in, so my hands now are prepared for the avoda. So all the Braisa is trying to teach us is, no, it doesn't work. A mikvah doesn't work. A mikvah is not a substitute for kiyor and kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. It's a different concept. It's a different ball game. Therefore, consequently, it's not comparable. And that's the point the Braisa is making. Not anything to do with putting your hands into the mei kiyor. For a third time today, sorry, Dr. Zaghi. For a third time today, the Gemara now asked a question. Can I put my hands in the kiyur? Does that work? And the Gemara says, I don't know. Inconclusive. Okay, three big questions that the Gemara entertained today. The question of Yotze being a Hesech Hadas. The question of Tumah being a Hesech Hadas. And the third question, which the Gemara left unresolved, putting your hands in the kiyur, is that going to, not a question of Hesech Hadas, but just simply, does that work? And the Gemara leaves that question unresolved.